Snack Bar Games Podcast.
Welcome to Snack Bar Games Podcast, episode 245. It's our special Game of the Year edition. Guys, are you ready?
Yes.
Yes.
And by the year, we mean, of course, last year, because this is running in January. But it's okay. Game of the Year, 2012. That's the year that we're talking about. Game of a year.
2012 was a year. Okay.
So, here with me for this episode are Jeff, Chris Ingersoll, Sean, and Andrew.
Hey.
Game of the year.
2012 video games years.
2012 games. We're going to talk about all 2012 of our finalists.
Remember in the last episode? We went to like every game ever released. Yep. Now we're going to do that again, except we're going to talk about all of them.
I
thought of more too.
Yeah.
Oh man, how can I forgot Mark of the Ninja?
Okay, next time we'll talk about finalists. We're just going to list games this time.
All right.
Okay.
Let's not do that. All
right. You guys want to go in alphabetical order with them?
Let's go in chronological order by European release. Let's go in alphabetical order by Japanese alphabet.
You are the only one that would know that.
Yeah.
Correct. Sean, go.
All right, let's go with Assassin's Creed 3.
Okay.
Assassin's Creed 3. I'll start and then I'll pass it off to Chris, who also spent a ton of time with it.
I can only spend 30% of my time talking about this game right now. I had to work on trying to in Little Inferno.
All right. Well, I will just start it off then, and we'll see where it goes. I think for me, Assassin's Creed 3 is the game that I think a lot of people were most disappointed with, which is I'm actually kind of surprised it made a list because I don't know. I haven't seen everyone else's, picks or top 10 lists or anything.
Well,
but we'll
get to that later.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm just saying, like, in terms of how everyone ranked it, I was just kind of surprised. I thought I'd be the only one who really, really enjoyed Assassin's Creed 3 this year, because it seemed like everyone seems to be disappointed by it, but I consider it the best in the series thus far.
Best Assassin's Creed game I have ever played.
Yes. Is the best Assassin's Creed game released on a Nintendo console.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Let me start out by saying my favorite part, as I have said many times, the naval battles. That alone kind of.
I've been saving those now. I've been doing a bunch of Homestead stuff, or not doing them. Oh. I'm saving naval battles for when I'm done with the Homestead.
So you're doing your homework first and then getting them.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. To be fair, yeah, Assassin's Creed 3 is not perfect. Like the Homestead stuff, not great. But
let's be clear. No game's perfect.
No game is perfect. No.
All six of these games are very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Which one is the closest to being perfect?
I don't think that's our winner.
Oh. Okay. Well, anyway, yeah, so like the Homestead stuff, not great, but I don't think any of that stuff has ever really been good in Assassin's Creed. Not to say that's an excuse. I don't think, I think they should have worked on improving that stuff. Yeah. And I know there are people who do like it, but like for me, again, never really got into it, and I mostly skipped it because for me, money was kind of worthless in this game. So
I'm not doing it for the money. I'm doing it for rebuilding the homes. It's like Colony 9 again, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. So I mean, are you enjoying that part of it?
Or
are you
I am.
Just kind of like
just, every time I see like a Homestead mission show up on my map, I'm like, ooh, let's go.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm glad. Okay, I take
Which
that back.
Is, again, why I'm only 30% through the game. I just did Paul Revere's ride like this morning.
Yeah. You still got a ways to go. But I never did much of the Homestead stuff. So I mean, like, what is it for you that kind of draws you to that?
The Homestead, like I said, it's
just
basically it's Colony 6 run over. It's yeah. like I just like rebuilding the community from nothing and finding like the interactions, the stories and stuff with mm-hmm. people.
So it's like you're gonna take pleasure in the fact that when you're near the end of the game, you can walk through your homestead and see all these, you know, cool people you've met along the way, and you know, just have it, how it's kind of become like turned from like two people living in this giant house to a large community.
Right.
Yeah. And that is pretty neat. I, again, for me, that stuff was not for me, but I understand why other people like it. I think naval battle stuff, though. Like, how much of that have you done exactly? Have you done
just the introductory story for that where they go down to Cape Cod and back.
Mm-hmm. It gets. I mean, like there are different types of missions there.
I've given some trinkets to the guy who wants them and got a couple of letters.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to doing those. I just haven't.
Those are cool. I haven't done
focused to that yet.
Yeah, I haven't done all of those, but those are definitely cool. I think it introduces a lot of neat things. Like I said, the naval battle stuff is really cool. I think a lot of the collectibles are stupid. Like getting Ben Franklin's almanac pages, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, completionists will probably drive them crazy. But like, if I'm just focusing on the stuff I like the most in Assassin's Creed 3, it is. I think it's a really good experience, and I haven't run into any major glitches. Like there have been muskets floating in the air and guys kind of get caught in the ground when they die, but like nothing that really broke my game. I don't know. Have you seen any of that?
The odd clipping issue, like when I've changed, like I bought a new sword and it clips into the robe because did whatever. And also I bought new clothes because I like the bluish outfit that I got now. Yeah. But every time it goes to a pre-rendered scene, I'm in the white robe.
Yeah, stuff like that.
That's just lazy.
Yeah, stuff like that's always been in Assassin's Creed. Like same with the other games. Like if you have like bigger weapons that you buy later in the game, it'll just kind of clip through your clothes and look kind of
And it's nothing game breaking. Nothing happens for other games or anything. That's
an ongoing problem in third person.
Yeah. Hey Jeff, you really liked Assassin's Creed 3, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. Why did you like it?
One of the biggest things is like Andrew was saying, the just having so many different things. Like naval missions, homestead missions, and stuff. You always, unless you were a completionist, you could always just pick and choose the things you like the most.
Yeah,
yeah, I can imagine it driving people crazy if you have this compulsion to do all of it. Then I can imagine that kind of bogging the game down.
Spending an entire day in the catacombs finding all the fast travel locations.
Yeah,
that was some work.
You could
it was worth it in the end, though.
Yeah, definitely. And again, with the viewpoints too, which is kind of like a tradition for the series, but that stuff is always cool. But like in terms of like the actual main story, that really appealed to me. I like Connor a lot. I know a lot of people aren't a big fan of him, but I think he's definitely not Ezio, but he's
definitely he's not. Are we sure?
Yes. I've checked. He's not Ezio.
I think he's related.
But how thorough was your checking?
Well, he doesn't look anything like him or sound anything like him.
And, you know, a couple hundred years different.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, unless Ezio is somehow gained immortality, which would be, you know what? Let's have that happen. Let's make the series go even crazier. But no. But yeah, he's a distinct character that I think he's not just an Ezio clone. I don't think he's just an Altair clone. He's a really distinct character with a lot of flaws, but flaws that kind of are exposed, and he kind of learns from throughout the game. And by the end, it's definitely impacts him. I just really liked his journey as a character throughout from like as a kid onward to, well, actually no, from before he was even born onward to to the end of the game. I thought that stuff was really cool too.
Cool.
And just like as an Assassin's Creed game, just really solid stuff. They improved like little tiny things like the free running and stuff. So
yeah,
for me, I think it belongs on this list, definitely.
There's one aspect I do like about this game a lot that you don't see almost anything of is the setting.
Mm-hmm.
Colonial Revolutionary America is not something that is ever traditionally done in video game form. It helps that I'm from that backyard, basically.
Yeah.
So.
Except Age of Empires 3.
Right. Every now and then it shows up. Yeah. It's just like, I guess the actual original two are like Renaissance Italy or whatever. That's also not something that's like board game territory more than it is video game territory.
That's what Assassin's Creed is great at.
Board games.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed 2, Assassin's Creed is always great at that stuff, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Sean? Yeah.
I have not played it.
I think he was asking what's next.
Oh, fine. Next will be Journey.
Journey.
The game on this list I'm just wanted to play.
Graham, this is the big one for you, right?
That's safe to say. It is one of the games I most enjoyed on this list, to be sure. And actually, by this time, you've seen my top 10 list. So, Journey. Here's what I'll say about Journey. Everything it tries to do, it succeeds in doing kind of flawlessly.
Yeah.
Do I need to say any other thing? It tries a number of things, and it does them as well as anyone could possibly do them.
Yeah, I mean, it helps that the game is. I mean, this isn't a knock against it, mind you, but it helps that there's really not a ton to the game in terms of actual content. But the content that is there is so well refined.
Yeah, it's something I find myself saying a lot. It's very well curated. That they decided instead of like, hey, let's have lots of stuff in there, which we coming off Assassin's Creed 3, like there's a lot of stuff, but some of it's not that great, but some of it's really good. They were like, all right, so we're gonna have this thing. It's gonna last maybe two and a half hours, but we're gonna, they basically took it as you'd take a film and like go frame by frame and like, all right, we need to make this look great, and they did so in interactive form. And to me, the thing about Journey is that you sit someone down who doesn't normally play games or who doesn't get what games can evoke, you know, how powerful they can be. Really, I'll say it. In the games as art argument, like this is just like, not that this will convince people. But you sit someone down who's an opponent, and like they'll at least understand where you're coming from when you say that kind of thing. Like you understand what the medium can do, and in such a like refined form. Like I think a lot of the feelings you have in that game, you have in other games.
Yeah.
But when you just push them all together in this, like, here's what games can do. If I just sit anyone down with like trying to justify the medium to people, though I don't feel I need to. But if you're trying to like I've just been getting people to play it who don't normally play games just to be like, look at what this thing that I love, look at what it can do.
Yeah.
You know, and in a way that other games don't.
Yeah, other game for the most part, when you think of what the games on this list, they are made for people who play video games. And in some respects, Journey is kind of that, but at the same time, it's also not.
Yeah.
Like, it's perfect for people who don't play games, and also for people who play games. Perfect for everyone. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you didn't even touch upon my favorite part of the game, which is the co-op. The co-op, which, you know, it's not really, you know, it can't be co-op. It can't be co-op. Sometimes it's not co-op, depending on who's assigned to who you get matched with, but. The fact that I played through this thing with someone I never met, I didn't even know his his PSN name, I didn't know anything about this person, but there was just another creature in my world going through, experiencing this with me, and until near the end when we got separated, and I was very sad. It was just really cool to have that experience, and it's something so interesting that you just remove the ability to speak to someone else online. It's remarkable how much that changes an experience.
Yeah.
Like, for all I know, that could have been some 12-year-old who just finished playing like Call of Duty on his PS3 and swearing at people. I don't know. I don't expect that to be the same person, but, you know, you never know, and I think that's great.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Journey's pretty great, guys.
Journey is amazing.
Yeah, my opinion on it changed completely once I actually played it. I watched some people... I watched some people play it. Through it, and I was like, so what's the big deal? There's nothing going on.
Yeah.
But when you actually play it and experience it yourself instead of watching someone else do it, completely different experience.
Yeah.
You could make the argument that just like watching, like if you're sitting next to someone in person and watching them play through it, I guess you could see, I could still see that being kind of impactful, but
it's, yeah, but really with, even don't play it with other people around.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Just isolate yourself. You know, just whatever you got to do, headphones, you know, close everything and just experience that thing in one sitting and just.
Yeah, one sitting, start to finish, definitely. That is, if anything, kind of like the beacon of light for how far downloadable games have come. That's kind of like the big one.
It's
one
literally a beacon of light too.
Yes, it is. So, really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on to another game that you can't play in one sitting. Let's talk about Mass Effect 3.
You could play it in one sitting.
Yeah. Not as
you
slow as
shouldn't.
I
am. it's possible. You probably need to sleep while you're sitting.
I mean, I finished it in a little less than 34 hours. So yeah. Maybe. I've been up for 34 hours before.
Yeah, I've been up for as long as it took me to beat it too, but I wasn't coherent at the end of it.
Mass Effect 3, I don't want to talk about the controversy. I don't want to talk about.
We don't need to.
We don't need to.
Here's the thing.
In some respects, they did. And also, that is such a small fragment of the experience of that game.
Yes. It really is. I think people got too hung up on it. In a way, I kind of understand, but at the same time.
Look, I get the issues. I get what they're talking about. That does not cloud how much time I had with 35 of my 36 hours with that game.
Yeah.
And I will say this. The story may be not as strong as the second installment simply because they did have to wrap things up, but still pretty great.
Yeah.
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 Very emotional whenever you see all the new people or say goodbye to the people.
I mean, honestly, just that, like, right before that last mission where you were talking to everyone, like, I kind of knew they were going to do that. I kind of knew they had to do that. Like, no matter what happened at the end of the game. And they did it, and they did it so well. Like, I guess it's kind of stupid that you have that intercom thing where you could just kind of, like, talk to anyone anywhere in the galaxy. But, you know, hey, I was okay with it because I got to see all these characters one last time, even if they weren't entirely there throughout all of Mass Effect 3.
Right.
Yeah, it was cool.
When there was that intercom and you just like talk to people, that I wanted to talk to everyone, like all the people on the list. I didn't skip some people because I didn't care about them. I do that in a lot of games. Like, I don't really feel like talking to that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But that game made me care about how everyone turned out.
Yeah, I mean, like, even like characters like, although I didn't get Kasumi in my game because I never bought the DLC, but Kasumi and Zaid, the two DLC characters from Mass Effect 2, like, Zaid, for me, like, he was okay. He was a decent character, but even at the end, I was just like, man, Zaid, I'm going to miss you. You were okay. I never liked you that much, but you know what? You were cool. It was cool seeing you again.
Yeah.
Go do what you do.
Yeah, I sadly didn't get to see any Kasumi in that one because her mission got bugged.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean, like the when you played in the Mass Effect 2 or when?
In 3, whenever you are doing the embassy stuff with her.
Oh, right.
It got bugged and you couldn't finish it. And if you don't finish it, you never get to see her again.
Jeez, that's depressing.
I know, I'm going to have to play it again.
I have to play the whole trilogy again. Yeah.
But it's okay because it's a good game.
Yeah.
I also have to say, I know you guys probably haven't played any of the DLC. Like Leviathan and whatnot, but those are some of the best DLC story DLC that I've ever played.
I've heard
on one of these systems.
I've heard really good things about Leviathan, and I've heard that it kind of impacts the ending, although maybe not in the way some people would like.
It impacts it as far as giving it more backstory for why things happened the way they did.
Which you know, maybe not the best way to handle it, but you know, it's cool that it's there, and I'm definitely based on everything I've heard these past few weeks, and you know, Justin's review from earlier in the year, I've always been tempted to go back to it. Now that it's kind of like some downtime, as someone who's like, I'm done with Mass Effect 3, it's sitting on the shelf probably for a long time until I decide to replay the trilogy. At this point, I'm kind of tempted to just pick it back up again just to see that one DLC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. I still need to get back to the other one, the Omega Station one. But other ones I've done have been great so far.
Yeah, I've heard Omega's kind of a standalone combat sequence DLC.
Yeah. That one doesn't interest me as much, but it's cool that it's there. What were you saying, Jeff? I'm sorry.
I just wanted to mention one of the biggest surprises in Mass Effect 3 was actually the online co-op.
Yeah.
Multiplayer. Yeah, that's
it was actually fun.
Fun. You can go back in our archives as we were dreading, like, why is there multiplayer? What is this thing?
Yeah.
That was all right. Like, you didn't have to deal with it, but it was kind of fun. So,
I tried it out for the review because I was just like, you know what? I kind of have to do this. But when I got into it, I kind of was able to take that break from the story and just kind of, you know, play with the mechanics of Mass Effect in an interesting way. And with people that, you know, that were, you know, in like a co-op situation with people like Graham and Sean. And it was just.
And like, especially it was an interesting way to, you know, without having to make a whole new Shepard or do any of that, to just try out some interesting, you know, different classes and, you know.
Yeah. My favorite... even some classes you can't have as a Shepard.
Yeah.
Like a Krogan Battlemaster.
Yes. Shepard.
Or you can play as a Geth now.
In the next Mass Effect, I want to be able to be a Krogan.
Yeah, that would be great. You know, it would be interesting to see how they handle the next Mass Effect.
That's the new protagonist is a Krogan.
Yeah, I would hope so. Let's make it happen.
The only way to go. I mean, there are complaints. I understand some of them. Don't think it's quite as overblown as people who are really mad about it. But they definitely have been taking it into more of an action shooter thing as the installments have gone on.
Yeah.
So if they really want to make it like Gears, you just make everybody Krogan, and everybody's just mad and shooting each other. So, yeah,
I would be okay with that. And honestly, like, if this is the team that's making that made the multiplayer is making the next game, so it'll probably be more actiony, even more so than Mass Effect 3 was. So that, you know what, the action is good. It's been like Mass Effect 2, it was fine, but it's been improved enough that if you just play the multiplayer in Mass Effect 3 for whatever reason, you will have a pretty good experience because it's solid and there's a lot to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I did think that Mass Effect 3 actually had more of the RPG feel to it than 2 did.
Hmm.
It was more action-y, but the RPG back end, like all the inventory and the powers and everything, felt more RPG-ish.
I think it felt about the same to me.
Yeah.
But maybe, I mean, I don't know. I was okay with how it was handled in 2. I was okay with how it was handled in 3. Like, I'm not the biggest Mass Effect 1 fan. That game is just kind of clunky, but but I understand why people like it so much. But I don't think it's, like I said, I don't think it's as bad as people make it out to be in 2 or 3. So
yeah,
Mass Effect 3.
Mass Effect 3, pretty good.
Great game and a great series.
How good? Find out when we name our game of the year, which may have already happened if you're listening to this late.
In worst case, you know, but
right.
Yeah.
All right.
Just travel back in time. Keep it secret. Anyway.
Another way they might not have heard is if this story came to fruition in The Walking Dead.
Oh yeah.
So
that would put a damper on our game of the year thing.
So The Walking Dead.
We would care.
We have 2 downloadable finalists this year, and that's
crazy.
Like the least controversial thing about it.
about our list?
Well, like, in many ways, those 2 are the least disputed finalists. Journey and The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Both great. So, Walking Dead, episodic Telltale game.
I didn't see... like.
Remember how Telltale was basically dead? That they were running themselves into the ground, that the 3rd season of Sam and Max was not quite as great, and that Back to the Future was kind of formulaic. Like it was good, but it wasn't there.
Jurassic Park.
Trying
not to remember Jurassic Park.
So Walking Dead was coming around, and I was kind of like, you know what, I'm interested in this because this seems to be like it seems like they were taking the same approach as Jurassic Park, but hopefully they were improving upon it, you know, with a little more action and not just being like a typical point-and-click adventure game, but I was skeptical, and then, you know, then the early hit reviews hit, and then, you know, I finally got to play. I was like, you know what, I'll just try the first episode. There's no harm in that. And man, The Walking Dead is just phenomenal. Oh man.
Yeah.
I'm speechless.
Yep.
I don't know. You're
speechless because the you were attacked.
Yeah, I'm dead.
They ate your lungs or something? I don't know. I don't know where I was going
with
that.
That's exactly what happened. Don't spoil it. Come on, Graham.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm still in near the beginning of chapter 2. I got really bummed when it didn't save
I'm taking
my
that
choices.
Slow. I haven't finished either. I'm a few episodes in though. But I just can't. Like, I can only take one of those episodes, like, every couple months without, like,
should have played them as
losing all faith in humanity. I've just been on a delay. Yeah. Really, like, maybe longer than that between episodes.
I really had trouble getting into 2 after I lost all my saves from
the
first one.
That's the big problem, I think. Yeah. Like, as much as I love The Walking Dead, the fact that the PC version, which, you know, should be the optimal version considering the genre and all, it's just weird that they had that problem. It's like kind of like the Mass Effect problem, although this is obviously a bigger deal because it's everything, not just, you know, your Shepard's face. But like it's still like if this game hinges on your choices, and even if by the end you could say the choices didn't matter to the impact of the story, and that's true, but they impacted how you saw Lee, like main character, how you saw the other characters, how, you know, just how it like impacted the journey along the way. Even if the story was still kind of the same linear story along.
I think that's fine. I think that there it's refreshing to have the emphasis be put on the experience of getting there, because it's kind of life, you guys.
Life's gonna kind of
die, and then like you should enjoy getting there. Walking, and you're gonna die quicker because of the zombies.
Yeah, the zombies will probably. Sorry, guys. Hate to break it to you this way, but
zombies.
Zombies are coming.
Hate to break it to you, but zombies.
Zombies, yeah. People say the decisions don't matter, and that's not true. Like,
no,
they matter. They matter to you. And even if that one choice you made that was really impactful to you at the time in episode 2 didn't really have ramifications in episode 5. It doesn't matter, because in that moment it was just like wrenching. It was brutal, and you either hated yourself for it or you hated the characters for it for putting you in that situation. And it's when a game can do that, whether or not you feel you made the right decision, whenever a game can do that, can kind of bring you into that so emotionally, it's fantastic. I just I can't say enough about this game. So good, and you know, I'm pretty sure my top 10 is up by now, so you know it's definitely up there. So,
yep.
The Walking Dead.
Like
I said, that and Journey, 2 most important games of the year. Maybe not the best, but the most important.
I think I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
So next we have a reboot.
What?
XCOM, Enemy Unknown.
It's like, there's a reboot game. License or something.
There is a reboot game on the PS1, but it's not up for our game of the year 12, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, so, XCOM, Enemy Unknown. That game's pretty good, you guys.
Pretty good. I never played the original one, so I don't know how close to that one it is in terms of gameplay.
Yeah, so...
It's very addictive. And heart-wrenching.
Jeff, how much experience do you have with XCOM? You're kind of a PC guy. I thought maybe you played it. Yeah,
I played the originals. The default gameplay in Enemy Unknown isn't quite like the original, but you can turn up the difficulty and make it fairly similar.
Yes, there's classic difficulties, like the third highest. Whatever.
Yeah.
So... This game, you guys, they made a strategy game, and then like they made it so people who don't normally play strategy games play it without like making it any easier or dumber. You know, they just they took the game, which the original XCOM, even for people who really love it, probably agree that it's one of the least intuitive games released ever.
Oh, definitely.
At least as far as like learning curve. Like you just don't.
The learning curve is incredibly steep.
Yeah, and even like you just get in there and like there's all these controls and like what am I doing? Yeah. I don't know. And it never explains itself. And even when you learn it, it's super hard. You know, the new game, like you can still play it like that if you want, but there's just like you can get in there and play it, and it explains it, and also. I love the tutorial. People have differing opinions about the tutorial, but I love that the tutorial goes straight into the game and then has you lose people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it teaches you to lose people and be okay with it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the XCOM way, unlike every other game. It's like, no, it's fine. Look, sometimes you're going to lose people, and don't freak out.
This is war, man. This is what happens. Especially when aliens are involved.
Yeah. Or zombies.
Or zombies. Yep.
The fact that they made this game, that like they also made it super okay on consoles.
It's perfectly fine on consoles. I know people who play it on PC with the controller. So
yeah, I play it on PC with the controller. Yeah. So I knew that Firaxis doing this, they were going to do a solid job making the strategy game.
Oh yeah.
But they seem to have taken all the lessons from Civilization Revolution as to like how to make something easier to understand and make it work on consoles, and they took it further.
Yeah.
And they got this game that was way more about tactics than grand strategy. So it was I don't gonna say like a smaller game, but in ways, yeah. It's easy, like the pieces of it are more contained so that it's more easy to use with something like gamepad controls and with simpler interfaces. And I don't know, man. This game, it's just that. Yeah,
it is great. It is great. It's. I mean, I haven't played as much as you guys. I'm actually just starting it just this past week. I had a little frustration with it in the beginning, mostly because of my own stupidity and not realizing that autosave was not on by default. That kind of screwed me up.
With basically all these games, except for really Journey, didn't have any problems like this. There are weird technical issues that you just.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that was a technical issue or a design choice, either way.
Whatever. Little tiny things that really don't affect the game, but we're hanging over it a little.
Autosaves
is kind of a console PC thing. Like on PC, a lot of times, you're used to manual saves.
Oh, yeah, I can understand.
But on a console, autosaving is second nature.
The games have taught me that way. I playing on console so often, I'm just kind of like... Again, when I play a game like, let's say, I don't know, a Skyrim, I make manual saves like crazy. But this is just a strategy game. I'm just like, you know what? You know, I'm sure because I was told this game had autosaves, and I just, you know, it's a modern game. I assume there were autosaves, or at least on.
There are. They're just not on.
Yeah, not on my default. So again, I went through a mission that wasn't prepared, and I was like, I wouldn't really want to try that again. Oh wait, there were no autosaves, and my save is halfway through the game.
Yeah, when a mission goes bad, it can go very bad.
Definitely. If you like, when I was talking, Graham and Sean were talking about this on Twitter. When things go bad. They go really bad.
Very bad.
And then they continue to go bad, yeah.
Yeah. I believe your example of, oh, I was in that mission. Yeah, the shotgun guys, right?
Yeah,
they both got killed by the zombie things. So then they, turned around and attacked me.
This game has zombies go well. And aliens. It's terrible.
Yeah,
it was terrifying the first time one of my guys turned into one.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, great, my best guy's dead. I go the other direction to take people out, and I turn around, oh, wait. My guy's killing me from behind.
Yeah, I also love some of the really small details in that game. Like, for example, there's one mission at a gas station. If you look at
there are lots of missions at a gas station.
If you look at the sign at the gas station, gas is like $8 a gallon.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think my biggest problem with it is that even though the maps do like there is a lot of them, and they're different, like. Even if it's the same map, there are little differences that are changed if you go back to it.
It's
even just together. Like 10 hours into it, I've run into so many of the same maps. It can get a little repetitive, and I feel like even though there are changes, I still feel like by that point I know the map.
I mean, let's be clear, Dragon Age 2, this is not.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No. It's not a huge problem. It's just kind of bumming me out because I was expecting a little more variety in terms of the maps, and there are still some. It's just.
I mean, the good thing is when you come back to them, it's a different set of enemies and a different set of places, and so it's not the same map over and over again.
Oh no, but. Yeah, like unless it's like a specific story mission, which there are just a handful of those, but for most of the random missions you get, the map will be different every time, and everyone will have a different experience, not just in terms of how they play, but in terms of how the maps are generated and things like that. And
even the story
maps are like I did one of the story missions and I wanted to restart because I made one. Really stupid mistake, and it cost like half my squad. So I was like, I'm just gonna start this one from the beginning and just see how it goes. And then the map was a bit different. And stuff like that is really cool. That you know, I couldn't just rely on some of my old tactics again. But it still is definitely bummed me out a little bit. But
yeah, and how nail biting are those assault missions? Oh, and yeah. The entire time you're like,
yes,
hell, nobody
don't
is
don't
the
die, don't die,
game.
Don't die.
Yeah, seriously, and they go like, this isn't a bad thing, but they go on for so long, so you think like, okay, behind this door will be like the final group of enemies. Oh wait, this is just another big room, and then there's another door. Oh god. And the way they throw like the surprises, the way they throw the enemies at you, like they throw the worst enemies at you at the worst situation, just when you think, okay, I'm finally starting to pick things up.
Oh, wait, here's this giant enemy you've never seen before.
There's a cyber disc with three sentries or whatever they're called. Oh, God, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Little things like that.
Yeah. Just
nice touches.
But, like, XCOM is kind of like, seems to me, is kind of back. Like, I don't think this is the new XCOM and then we're not going to hear from XCOM for another 10 years. I think this is going to get supported with a lot of DLC.
Yeah.
And
the first one just came out.
Yeah. This game.
Yeah, after so many sort of failed XCOM restarts.
Yeah.
I think they finally got Firaxis, gave it to Firaxis, and I think they're finally ready to bring it back in a big way.
And I think it's good because I think Firaxis needed a change of pace thing, you know?
From Civilization.
Well, specifically because previously they were making... I mean, you can't make... like a new Pirates every 3 years, you know.
Yeah.
Like you should make it again at some point, but
yes, please, Pirates 2 or just
like
Pirates. I don't
know. Like they'd be spending a lot of time doing stuff like, I mean, not that it's a waste of their time, but games like Colonization,
mm-hmm.
You know, that like I think it would be good for them to have a like a second big strategy thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, and another thing I think that they probably want to do is get away from just making stuff with Sid Meier's name on it.
Oh yeah, this is the first Firaxis game, and wow.
Like the Civ game, the Pirates, first. They're all sort of what began as his project.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm pretty sure Firaxis has two main teams. I'm sure one of them is pretty much just the Civilization team. That's what is mostly involved in. And then there's the other team, which has been working on this game for like 4 years now. So I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that shooter, whatever it's going to become, if it even comes out at this point. Because like that.
Yeah,
that
but the thing is now. You know when that thing was announced, like, all right, this is the new XCOM,
yeah.
And oh, they're not going to give much attention to the strategy game. That's not going to sell very well. Now, that shooter gets to build on the success of the strategy game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise...
Crazy Town, XCOM, what is happening?
The biggest surprise with XCOM is how the console audience picked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't. I think it definitely did the best on the PC. I think that's because you know it was on Steam. It was cheaper. It had and then during the Steam sales and stuff, it did just really well. But the consoles, it did decent too. I think it did well enough for them to say like, hey, we can continue to do these games on consoles and they'll do okay.
Yeah,
which is great because that's what.
So Sean, our sixth and final Game of the Year 2012 finalist.
Alright, well, it's actually a game that's been out for over a year in some parts of the world.
Just, always just, true with just, things that are from Japan, but keep going.
Yeah.
Well, even in Europe, too, though. Let's go with Xenoblade Chronicles.
Let's.
Chris, I feel like you haven't done much talking, so I'll
let
you.
Well, that's because I've only played two of these games, and this is the other one.
Go right ahead.
If I'm listening to the soundtrack right now, that's how much I love this game.
Right now?
Yes, actually, right now. It's been playing while we've been recording, but it's down low enough that my microphone won't pick it up.
Okay.
choosing between this and The Last Story, for which I'm sure was right behind it in the counting, was almost unfair. But I went with Xenoblade because I put like 100 hours of my life into it. And games
too far to turn back now.
Right.
I have to have my life worth me.
Yeah.
I really like the way they mixed in like MMO kind of combat elements, although I don't have any experience with MMO, but it was not your typical menu-driven combat. And you really can't do that on consoles anymore, I don't think. I mean, even the Final Fantasy series has moved away from that, to the best of my knowledge, right?
Yeah, I mean, 12 was like the one attempt at that, and they still have the Final Fantasy MMOs. Like 14 is coming back, but in terms of like the actual like main series console games.
Yeah, it's good. When you're sitting on the big screen and surround sound, whatever else, you don't want to just be clicking the A button forever.
Yeah.
You want to actually be doing stuff. And
yeah.
The combat in this game worked really well. The AI for your two partners every time was almost like perfect, with the exception of if you ever asked the AI to control Millie.
Yeah, Melia. Yeah, she was the one character.
Yeah, she needs to be player controlled. She's just gonna suck.
Yeah.
But all seven of the characters are excellent and individuals. That there's no really overlap. They all have their own role, and they're all like when you mix and match the parties to work on your relationships, it always feels like a different team.
Yeah. Like, and there's never a wrong like combination. Like every combination, again, unless you're having the AI control Melia. There's never really a wrong way to approach the combat and the way you like sort your teammates and stuff.
Right, and the sheer depth of options this game throws at you. I mean, we talked earlier about Assassin's Creed having all kinds of side missions and stuff, but oh my god, this game! First of all, this game is enormous.
They
two complete worlds in this game.
Yeah,
and you can explore every nook and cranny of it, and get experience for doing so. That is still my favorite feature, I think, of this game.
You get experience for everything. It's amazing.
Right. But just for wandering around, hey, what is over there? I find what's over there. I get experience for it.
Yeah.
Sweet!
It's also quite interesting how these worlds are, as opposed to your typical RPG planets.
It is one of the most
original
concepts. Yeah, one of the most original concepts I've ever seen in an RPG, and that's... They tend to be pretty cliched, and while this one had its fair share, the two worlds themselves of the Bionis and the Mechanus, just what? Really? As soon as I write about that, I'm like, I have to play this game.
Yeah, that alone is just like, what? That's just cool. You're on a giant robot. It's just like just a giant being.
Well, you're on the giant biological entity.
Yeah, but just a giant like a creature, a being of some kind. You're on a god almost.
Crawling around his knee, like you start off down by his leg and you crawl all the way up his knee, and in the midsection you end up at his head, and you can actually almost kind of like on the arm and the fallen arm of the other one, and it makes such unique landscapes and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Is so much. And just, you can kind of cut, like, I really like having the enemies on the map, and like there are things that are way out of your element, like from the word go. If you go to the wrong part of the first colony, you will get wrecked.
Because
there's like level 50 things hiding around there.
But if you do get killed, it's not there's no penalty. You just maybe have to backtrack a little. But like the different waypoints are like all over the place, and you will always find a new one just when you need one.
That ties into rewarding you for the exploration.
Yeah.
Go see what you find. Maybe it's gigantic spiders gonna eat your face off, but go see what's over there. And more than once, a giant spider will eat your face off in this game.
there's no real penalty. Like, you don't feel like, oh, there might be something over there that I can't handle, like I shouldn't go over there. You'll just be like, oh, if there's something over there I can't handle, it's no big deal, I'll just try to run past it. If I can, if I don't, oh well, continue on my journey.
The only real flaw of the game that I found is that if you are going around doing all the quests and stuff to find, by the time you steer yourself back to the main story, you will be grossly overleveled.
Yeah, I can see that being a problem. But like for me, like I focus on the quests a lot for I'd say the first third, and then by that point, I was just like, I will do them along the way. Like for me, I just went to the quest people, accepted all the quests, and ended up completing half of them.
Of killing whatever you happen to be wandering around, right?
Yeah.
Because they're very MMO quests too, where go kill five of these things and see if they drop what they need to drop for you.
Mm-hmm.
But again, most of those quests, and one of the best other changes they made to the traditional RPG formulas, once you've killed those five things, your quest is done.
Yeah.
You don't have to go back and talk to that guy again.
Yeah.
Some of the ones with named NPCs, you do have to go back, and that will advance stories and stuff, which is fine. And
you can fast travel.
Right.
So, yeah. Again, not a problem. So everything you run into that you think might be a problem with this game, like being so massive, like there's so much to it, you think, oh, there'll be a problem in this part. There's always something little that kind of makes it makes it seem like makes it better and like kind of it like kind of moves the genre forward in a way that I haven't seen in a long time.
Right. This is very much a breath of fresh air for what has become a tired genre as a whole.
Yeah,
and we see a lot of innovative stuff. Like last year, we read in Historia made our final six.
Yeah. I mean, it was
almost unheard of. But
not to say that the genre is dead or the genre is dying, but I think.
But it definitely needs to adapt to.
Yeah.
What like the MMO influence and like last story had more actiony type cover based elements and stuff like that. That I like that general trend that we saw there. The handheld like the DS and 3DS versions. Go menus all the way for that, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah. on the home consoles, give us something a little bit different and more interactive.
Yeah, and I think that Xenoblade just does it also remarkably. Like the side quests aren't always great, and you know you might get bored of those, but you don't need to do them. And as long as you just keep on your path, you'll be okay.
One of the biggest things about the side quests is, like in an MMO, they just break up just grinding levels.
Yeah.
Right. I never felt like I was grinding in this game. I was just naturally going about my business.
Yeah, exactly. Like I about a third of the way through, I stopped doing the side quests, but I just wanted to explore. And I ended up like
the quests give you experience. Exploring gives you experience. Yeah. You will level up without touching a monster if you want to.
Exactly. Like so, just exploring and just fighting enemies naturally. I never once needed to grind in this game. And again, I was someone who didn't like by the third like a third of the way through the game, I just kind of stopped doing the side quests aside from ones that kind of. That kind of completed a lot, like naturally as I played the game. So side quests are not necessary. They're fun to do every once in a while, but if you don't like them, don't do them. But if you love them, there's more than enough there for you. And if it's a game that you play for, like you said, like you play for 100, I think I put close to 70 myself. If you play for that long, and if that entire time, or at least most of that time, it's engaging you, that is one hell of an experience.
Yeah, and that 100 hours would be 130 if they didn't have such an awesome fast travel system.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really,
like,
really good.
Assassin's Creed has got something like that, but I can only go within the map. And I travel from border to border myself. Mm-hmm. Xenoblade will let you go from like the final boss's front door to your hometown.
Seconds. From the very beginning.
Yeah. It's
at various places within that hometown. You usually have four or five different landmarks and then you can choose to go. Like, I want to go to the army base to talk to that guy for that final quest I wanted to do.
Yeah.
That is brilliant, brilliant stuff.
It's one of those things that every RPG should be using.
Right. That Xenoblade did a lot that I would.
I mean, I know, never go back now. I know the fast travel was lifted largely from Western games.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I said they borrowed from MMOs with most of the combat is like that, where it's automatic and you have certain special moves that you can activate with cooldowns and, you know, there's DPS and all that good stuff.
Well, look,
but borrow
good ideas.
Yes.
Right. Your ideas work no matter what their context, and like it's not like a random puzzle game or anything that's hiding. I mean, probably the weakest part about this game was the gem crafting, and even that was still pretty fun.
Yeah, it was okay. I didn't do it that much. I think my besides the quest,
well, there's no
really
point to it until you reach like a certain quality of gems anyway, because it's all trash. Once you get like the level 5 gems, and like I mentioned earlier with Assassin's Creed, rebuilding Colony 6, that's almost. Could be an entire game in and of itself, and they put that in there as a major side mission.
I barely touched that, but
right,
then I just, I could see why a lot of people would. So I think if I had to mention one other problem, I did not like the inventory system that much. It was just so hard to tell which items had which like gems equipped and which item it kind of suffered from a Borderlands problem where it was really difficult. Like if you have all this loot you pick up, it's just difficult to tell like what is better for your character. And it just took such a long time to kind of figure out what should be best equipped on each character. And it was a bit of a pain, especially with the gems.
The neat thing about that is that with this game is all the scenes are rendered in engine.
Yeah.
So whatever you're wearing at the time.
Oh yeah, that is cool.
A, what you'll be wearing when you see the next scene with that character, and B, what you'll be wearing if you flash back to that scene.
Yeah, that is really well done. It's real.
As opposed to pre-rendered, here's the outfit we want you to wear, and this is what you got.
Yeah, and that was they actually did that to make the game smaller, but it actually works out. Right.
It's a much
better
system, and I love that every time it shows up, which is not nearly often enough.
But especially the remembering in a flashback sequence what you happen to have equipped then, that is extra mile.
Like opening stage, you put Fiora in a bikini. She's going to be in a bikini every time you flash back to that horrible, horrible incident. It's like you've forever remembered her in a bikini in the mech suit.
Because it's like the only other piece of equipment that you can move right at the beginning. So it's like, well, I could just because like I want to see how this system works. Let me just try this for a second.
And you see that flashback a lot. Oh, so it's like, oh, yeah. I forgot I did that.
I'm the worst person.
Oh, man.
Japan?
Anyway. But so, yeah. So these are our six Game of the Year finalists. You should play all of them.
You should play all of them, even if you disagree with some of our picks.
We will tell you what our overall Game of the Year is, but you should play all of them.
Yes.
And in fact, play other games too.
There are other games that that are great but didn't make this list, but it's fine.
Play those, yeah.
Beach was like 10 of them.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
There are good games that were released in years before this one. Play those games. Those are also good games. We have a podcast from last year. There were five then. Those are five games, but there are more games from last year.
Man,
there are games that you don't even have to plug in things to play. You should play those games.
Oh, man.
You know what? There are things you should experience in life that are not in game form. Do those.
They're not so
like
much.
Places and like people. You can talk to people.
Whoa.
That's cool. You should.
Why would you want to do that?
I don't know. I think we're going a little
too meta. Getting crazy now, Graham.
So don't do other things, but just definitely play some games.
Yeah, I mean, if I go outside,
games, read snack bar.
If I go outside,
read snack bar.
The zombies will be out there. I don't want to go outside.
Yeah, we're gonna look really foolish if the world ends before this podcast airs.
Well, look, you can go outside, but only if you're playing Boktai.
Yeah.
That was released this year, but that's a good game and you should play.
Or you know, using Street Pass, you can't do that from home.
You can,
but it's
just get.
But then you have to have people.
Right.
Right. Then other people will have to have left.
How else are you gonna play 5-player Sonic and All Stars Racing Transformed?
Online.
Yes, make other people come from their homes to your home.
Yeah.
So you just need to play games.
Sublet your rooms. Yeah, just look.
Well, this is what we're saying.
For all these games, get them to. Yeah.
This is what we're saying. Play video games. These six, especially, but generally just play video games.
Yep.
Make your own six. Write about them in the comments.
Yeah, make your own. What are your favorite games of the year? Tell us.
Love to hear that.
Yes, we do. We do.
We love feedback. I mean, seriously, even if you know what? Sometimes it's super dumb, but we'll tell them personally.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of touch you get around here. All right, we'll wrap things up. So next time you hear us, we will be talking about the games coming out in 2013.
2013.
Yeah, that's going to be there's games coming out then you should also play. Well, so we'll get to
Graham, there's too many games. I can't handle it.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Well, here's what you do. All right. I got this plan. You don't have to play all the games.
Okay.
You only have to play some of the games.
Oh, okay. I can do that.
And here's how you're going to decide whether you should play the games. There's this site I've heard of. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What they do is that they play the games for you.
Whoa.
And then give you a recommendation of whether it's worth your time to play the game.
That is an incredibly helpful service.
Yeah.
Where do I find it?
Okay. You got a pencil or a pen or something to write this down?
I have a pen.
Okay.
I have a
HTTP colon.
HTTP, okay.
And then we got the slashes, you know.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. www.snackbar.
Snackbar. Is that one word or two words? Is there a hyphen between them?
There's not a hyphen there. There's a hyphen afterward, but
oh,
if you...
Okay.
It's okay.
Okay.
Then games.
Okay.
.com.
Oh, never heard of it. Okay.
Man, I just had to go to this website and I'll know what games to play.
Great.
Oh, man. Oh, it's amazing.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games Podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter @snackbargames.